Sometimes I forget to thank I often forget to thank Rabin Rachmani and the Mishpacha for sponsoring all of the Darcha Avinom, Chaburis Yosef Tzadik Shirim, and all the Panosim and Chaverim. So it's a big day for Mesibas today. Everybody's, I guess it's pre-Mesiba, and I don't know by us, not sure which side of the family, but I know that I have to go to a few places, Baruch Hashem. We should be able to have Simchas together, Mitzvah Hashem. So we're talking about what it means to really be a shaita. What it really means to be a shaita. That's an unpleasant term, a shaita, because we associate it with foolishness, with silliness. It's a shaita is a person. Chazal says, "Ma'abe kol mashen leistem ho." One of the telltale signs of a shaita is whatever you give him, he loses. And that's what we're talking about. To be an ish yisodi, a person who's yisodi. Like an ilan natua, like a tree that's planted deep in the ground, is a person that has in life a shita. Not the negative use of the term bal shita. A bal shita can be very annoying and difficult. I'm not talking about a bal shita in a negative way, but somebody who has a shita in life, a mahalach in life. A shita is what we were learning last week. Is kisista ishta, means a person who. It's the opposite of somebody who has strong yisod. But shtus means a person who is completely inconsistent, unpredictable. Not a substantial person. A person who's substantial. Who's grounded, who's rooted. That's what we've been learning. And where we're going now with this is how this naturally is going to have a huge impact on the whole mid of Kedusha Sayyisod, Kedusha. What it means to be a Jew that lives a life of Kedusha. The greatest thing that Hashem gave us is Kedusha. That you and I have this inborn Kedusha. That's what we're learning in the Rav Kook Chabura on Erev Shabbos. That we have this inborn Kedusha. It's the teva of a Jew to have Kedusha. The biggest shaita is to lose that Kedusha. To throw it away. To lose it. To destroy that Kedusha. That's the biggest shtus of all. That which Hashem gave us is the greatest gift of Kedusha. All the Yisurim of Yosef HaTzadik and the Beis HaSurim, all the Nisyonis that Yosef HaTzadik went through, so that we would be able to hold on to that Kedusha which he struggled to hold on to. That's what this is all about. Shmiras HaBris, Kedushas HaYisod. So on page Ayin Dalet, in the Kuntres that we're learning, Yisod is Bavadis Hashem. So I have a few more pages, then we're going to go more into the Sugi of Tikkun Klali. And to understand on a deeper level what the connection between all of this and the Midah of Shmiras HaBris. So on page Ayin Dalet, on the right side, in the middle column, is Olam HaNisayin.
It's actually Tzadik Vav.
Oh, on Tzadik Vav, right. It's a different edition. Tzadik Vav, where it says, Zehu Olam HaNisayin. Hashem Shabbat made such a world. This world is, like the Ramchal says at the beginning of Mishil Sharm, is a world of Nisayinus, of challenges, of tests. Even though, as we were learning last week, intellectually, it's so clear to us the shtusim, the havolim of the world. Even though you understand in seichel, I mean, there are a lot of people that don't, but a person that's intelligent and that's decent, and certainly lachas kama v'kama, somebody learns Torah, is able to see the shtusim and havolim, to recognize a shtus, a hevel. And nevertheless, mikol makom hamitziyasi, shachein him a balbal misodim b'chayzik b'taykev. Nevertheless, they cause tremendous, tremendous confusion. A balbal misodim b'chayzik b'taykev v'mafatim oysel hamshir hachareim. And they have this power to take us away from that shita of life and to become shait. V'alzeh bo hamitzvah v'lois asurach v'levavchem. That we say in Kriya Shema every day so many times. Los asuach ve'levavchem achrei einechem. Ha'ayin roa, v'halev chomeid. The eye sees and the heart wants, even though it's crazy. Ve'etzel ezeh midas hayesod. The etzah is midas hayesod. U'b'muskal arishon hayev shel havin ho imidas hayesod. Kvishin is bar lamaila, shem adam yisodi umakushar. If a person works on being yisodi and makushar, and all that we were talking about the past few months, hiskashus, yisodius, yodea mahu rotze ula'an ho'harlech. He lives a life of Me'ayin atabo la'ana tahoylech, where we come from, and where do you want to go? What do you want to accomplish in your life? What's your goal in life? What do you want to do with your life? It's not a hefkeres. He lives in that way of ashita. La'ana tahoylech. Yishlo seichel chachma bina v'das. Everything is planned for all the levels of chachma bina das and so on. First, Kesser, crown, Rodson, what do you want in your, what do you want in life? What is it that you want with your life? If anybody would ask any one of us right now, what do you want in life? We would say pretty good things. Every one of us would say the right things. What do you want? But then if we would be asked, so, well, what about what you did last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and what about at 6 o'clock and then at 8:30, and how is that consistent with your plan? So in any business, that wouldn't work. If you ask somebody, what do you want with your business? The guy says, I want to make a billion dollars in 2022. I want to make $1 billion. And the guy sleeps every morning till 11 o'clock, and he goes into work at 12 o'clock, doesn't do much at work. So you have a big kasha. You said that you want to make $1 billion, and everything that you're doing doesn't stim with your plan. So Kodem Kol, there's that rotzen of what you want in life. What do you want in life? We all want to have good Jewish children, that are Erlich Yidden, and to raise them, they should be good children, and they should grow up to be good Jews. But then there's so many inconsistencies with what we're doing that don't fit that rotzen that we have. So the rotzen begins with Keser, and then there's Chochma, Bina, and Das, and then to strengthen oneself emotionally, Chesed and Gevura and so on, until finally you carry it through. The problem is that along the way, we can get sidetracked because of Los Asur Achvei Levav Chamachvei Nechem. Krishna is about the shape. The person is Yisrael. He says, Yisrael Chesed, Chochma, Bina, Vadas, Yisrael Chesed, Gvur, V'yadam Evin, Shalios, Talmud Chochem. So let's say a person's goal is he wants to be a Talmud Chochem. That's beautiful. There's nothing more noble than that. He wants to be a Talmud Chochem. So how does one go about becoming a Talmud Chochem? You can't just go someplace and get an operation. Well, they put some electrodes and somebody gives you a zap. You know, you choose a button and you press Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And then you wake up the next morning and you're Reb Chaim Kanievsky. It doesn't happen like that. So what do you want to do? If you want to be a Talmud Chacham, that's beautiful. But how does one become a Talmud Chacham? Shlos Talmud Chacham with Davar Gadol. So in his seichel, he understands that it's great. This is the greatest thing in the world, is to be a Talmud Chacham. L'os Ovid Hashem. Or it could be that it could be the same person that wants to be a big Talmud Chacham and a big Ovid Hashem, or it could be somebody, let's say, it's not easy for him intellectually, but that's okay. He wants to be a big Ovid Hashem. So he's not necessarily going to be a Talmud Chacham, although it's good to try. But let's say he sees that he's not going to be a Talmud Chacham necessarily, but what's preventing him from being a big Ovid Hashem? So he decides he wants to be a big Ovid Hashem. So that's the plan. That's the rotzen that you have, to be an Ovid Hashem. It's Dover Elyon. It's a gewaldig thing to be an Ovid Hashem. It's a big thing. If you ask a person, how the Elf Alpha Abdullah, if you say, yeah, somebody, what do you want to do? The guy says, I want to be in the Olympics in 2000, I don't know, 24, I don't know, the 22, whatever it is. The guy says, I want to be in the Olympics. So there's a certain mahalach if you want to be in the Olympics. What do you want to do? I want to be 100 meters. You don't work out at all. You don't work out. You spend most of your time in the pizza shop. The Olympics is like 3 months away. He says, no, I'm going for the gold. But we do this stuff all the time. We do that all the time. So either he's missing something in his rotzen. He doesn't really want to be in the Olympics. He's fooling himself. Or he's tamashait. Or he really does want to be in the Olympics, but he's not following that mahalach with chachma, with bina and das, with chesed, gevura, tiferes. Yisod is holding up the whole program is yisod to carry it through with malchus. Leos kodesh elyon. He's got a picture of the Baba Sali on his wall. He's got a picture of the Chofetz Chaim, and he says, "These are my role models. I want to be like the Baba Sali." Okay, but the Baba Sali wasn't playing poker on Saturday night, you understand? You don't become the Baba Sali, like, you just don't turn into the Baba Sali. You want to be a tzaddik, it's a mahalach to becoming a tzaddik. So, okay, you know, when we're younger, we hear a lot of these things, and you're seeing a sefer and you hear shmuzin, and you want to be like that. You want to be a big tzaddik. You just don't want to have to do the stuff to get there. You just want to become the tzaddik, but you don't want to do all the stuff that's required. Al kol zeh kol echad mishabech v'ayim miz mashir. Everybody praises the tzaddik. Everybody says there's nothing greater than Ovid Hashem. There's nothing higher than a tzaddik in the world. On the other hand, there's a person who's a shait, is a tipesh. He sullies and dirties his life with all kinds of tumma. The latest craze, of course, is the stuff that's on the internet. He's sinking deep into the cesspool of filth. No one's praising that guy. Not in our world, maybe in the outside world, but in our world, that's not somebody who's looked up to, somebody who's sinking in the filth. So when it comes to the tzaddik, the Talmud Chacham, the Ovid Hashem, those are the people that are the most respected in our world. And those who are the opposite of that are the least respected. I remember, I told you many times that my mother-in-law, Leah Shalom, she was a very, very wonderful person. I miss her a lot. And she was always giving speeches about how, she was like telling my son, and she was like, any guy that would come in to her Dal Rama, she would talk about, she asked, what are you doing? So, he'd say something like, I'm learning. And she would start, so what are you sitting? How long are you going to sit and learn? What are you doing with your life? How are you going to support your family? She would give that whole trusha. And I said to her, Shviga, what if you knew that's what I call it. That's okay. I didn't mean it in a bad way. I know it's like a bad word, but I didn't mean it in a bad way. So I said, Shviga, what if you knew that this guy you're giving this whole drasha to, what if you knew that he was going to be like a Moshe Feinstein, like if another of you would come and tell you? She would always say, oh, no, Moshe Feinstein. Oh, no, that's Moshe. She knew Moshe Feinstein. Or if you said Rav Gustman, because her family, they were very close to Rav Gustman, all of a sudden. And what if this is the next Rav Yisrael Gustman, and you're giving him a whole drasha, and you're going to convince him to become an accountant, and the world is losing a Rav Gustman? She said, I would never do that. But this guy's just nobody, he's an idiot. That's what she would say in front of him. He's no Rav Gustman, he's no Rav Maisha, let him go to work. In her mind, there was nobody greater on earth than Rav Moshe Feinstein. Nobody higher in the world. And I would have these conversations with her, but you got to become a Rav Moshe Feinstein. You got to give the guy a chance. He wants to work at it. So, give me a break. He's not going to be no Rav Moshe Feinstein. Because in her mind, you just came into the world, you were Rav Moshe Feinstein. But that's not how life is. Each person in his own level tries to work whatever he can become great at to set his goals into. But there's no question that even a person who could, in one breath, yell at the guy about how he's sitting and learning, but at the same time, she also acknowledges that the greatest Jew on earth, she would say always, the greatest Jew on earth is Rav Gustman. Not any big corporate billionaire Jew. The biggest Jew on earth is Rav Gustman. She agreed. She was raised that way. Her parents, who I knew very well, they were raised. That's how they were. They venerated Talmid Chachama. They looked up to Talmid Chachama. There was nobody higher in the world than a Talmid Chacham. And that's true. And then there are people who lo aleinu are living lives that are not respectable. Kol echad yomer lo ki siste ishto. And anybody would say about that person, he's a shaita. He was given a nefesh elokis. He was given a godly soul, and he's ma'abed kol mashal yisrael. He loses it. He throws it into the dirt. What's the matter with him? Lo aleinu nichnas baruch shtos. Adam yisodi. A person is yisodi, and that's what pagam habris is. That's all that pagam habris is. Throwing away kedushas yisrael. That's what it is. Adam yisodi habonu heitev b'dayosav b'midayso. A person who's yisodi, whose life is a building And he knows b'deyosav u'b'midoysav k'chativ achas chachma bina das chesed gvur teferes netzach hayd yisod mimata lamala, and from bottom up, top down, humakusha heitiv makol. If he has a seder, if he has a seder that he has to be at, it's on time, his kashrus. Everything that we've been talking about for months now. He has a seder in learning, he has a job to do, he has something to take care for his family, there's his kashrus, he goes to do it, and he puts all of his kashrus into what he's doing at that moment. I was reading yesterday in a sefer, I was learning in a sefer about the altar from Kelm. It was an Ish Kaddish, the altar from Kelm. One of the Talmidim from Kelm was describing how they never ever saw such a thing that the altar from Kelm would ever, ever look sideways anywhere. He never looked around. Ever. And when there was something that he had to do, that somebody was calling him or something like that, or something that was important, he never went with his eyes. He turns his entire body around and looked. Rabbi Yochum was writing about this. Rabbi Yochum spoke about this. Rabbi Yochum was one of his greatest Talmidim. He never saw by the altar from Kelm such an inyan of dragging around, looking around. Try doing that like for 15 minutes. But they said never, the Talmudim, they never ever saw him looking sideways. When he was talking to you, that was it. When he was learning, that was it. Zehu. That's where he was. Completely Makusha. And Rabbi Yochum said that in Kelm, if there was somebody that was a little bit like that, it was looked like he was, you know, an Ishnunzer, he's not from the Chevra. Somebody that looked around a little bit by davening, lifted his head, moved somewhere from the zither. He's already in the shnanzer. Like he's a nishnunzer. He's like already not. He's not ready for the major leagues. He's not ready for Kelm. It's a thing the person could be capable of. And we could all be capable of that. I mean, it's hard to play the outfield if you're doing that. You understand? But to live a life of his kashrus and yesoidius. Ein etzlo mokim le'inyanim l'uchlochem. He's focused. There's no inyan of something that's disgusting or getting pulled off, getting sidetracked. Shagam shachein chai b'lam l'uchloch. Even though he lives in a world, we're all living in a world that's filthy. A person has to go to work. A person has to be in the world. Like everybody else in the world, he has to walk down the street. He has to walk down the street. He has to go to his office, wherever he's working. He has to walk down the street. Some people are fortunate they never have to go any place outside the Dalai Lama's, but that's not. Most people do. So he walks. But huyaver liad dvarim elu v'lo noga v'lo paga, like the altar from Kelm, v'lo noga v'lo paga. Doesn't touch him, doesn't reach him, doesn't pay any attention to it. Lo noga v'lo paga. If you're in the middle of something, and you feel your whole chiyus depends on this, and you're doing this, and you're working on this project right now, let's say. You're at a meeting with somebody, and this could potentially be a fantastic deal and could change your whole life if you're matzliach with this deal. You don't start looking at things that are going on. You don't start looking at things in the room that are going on. You're completely with this person. This is a big client or something, could work out, and you're completely focused. Can you imagine it'd be a davening like that? Just one davening like that. Just to live in that place of his kashrus and yesod, that's what it means. So for this person, he lives in the world. He goes to work, he does what he has to. But as far as those things that are meluch lachim, that are meluch lach is the same isis as lach lecha, meaning that they cause you to dray around everywhere. He doesn't go there at all. Not because he's misgaber. Because it's bechlal not in the program. It doesn't concern him. He's made a certain plan, a goal with his life. And he doesn't stam become enamored with things that are not part of that goal. Or he's not fearful of things that are not part of what he wants to accomplish. There's Ahav and Chesed and all the other midas are focused completely in accomplishing what he wants to. Ella Ahavosav Ugvorosav Mekushorim Bekesha Amitz V'Chazak B'Toytzo Mechachma Bina V'Dashlo Ahav Yira, all of his midas are all coming from Chachma Bina and Das. V'Yosha Chachma Ubina Das D'Kedusha Mitiva Since he intellectually knows that this is something which is disgusting, he knows that. He knows there's something there on the computer. He knows there's something there that's disgusting, and his seichel knows that. Now, when a person's yisodi, the seichel chochma bina das is connected to chesed ahava gvur and so on. But if you're not connected all the way from the binyan of Malchus Yesod to the top, with Chochma Bina back and forth, if you're not in such a way, then even though you intellectually know that this is disgusting, that doesn't mean that you're not drawn towards it with the chesed, meaning with ahava, with misplaced ahava, of something that you love to look at, and you've loved to look at since you're 13 years old, and you could be pulled in the same direction you've been pulled at for 30, 40 years. When there's Chochma, Bina, and Das of Kedusha, these are things that are disgusting, that are low. And not only do you understand that intellectually, but emotionally you feel that. You feel that this is disgusting. You don't want to have anything to do with it. I mean, this is the whole Tanya. It's the whole Tanya, this. That's what Tanya's all about. The whole Sefer Tanya is this in you. You made a little Shaya Chlal, Shiyit Basu Mokim Eslo Chlal. It's not typhus and mokum. It doesn't take up any space in your head or in your heart. You're not gyrus it at all. It doesn't mean it's meaningless to you. Because your seichel knows that there's no chochma bina v'das in any of this. There's no seichel in this thing. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I remember once when I was maybe 12 years old, so I was watching. I was watching a ball game on television, and there was a commercial, and it was, I think it was like toothpaste, and somebody there, standing holding up this toothpaste, and saying something totally ridiculous. My father happened to be passing by to get something, and he stopped, and I was watching this commercial like this, you know, and my father said, "What are you looking at? What are you watching? What is this? What are you watching?" So I said, I'm watching the ball game. If I said, "That's not a ball game. It's somebody standing with a toothbrush." I don't know. That was it. He walked out. To him, it was so senseless. Like, why would an intelligent person sit there looking at somebody? So Terry says, "There's probably a pretty girl that was holding the toothbrush." You understand? They don't put up a shlub with a toothbrush. But the things that you know in Seichel are ridiculous. Commercials. I don't know if they still have them on television. I don't know if anybody still watches television. I guess everything's on the computer. But so, and they know how to market things, and they make lots of money with these things. And people are sending on it. Everybody's getting every day all kinds of stuff on their phone. That your Seichel knows is shtuyot. It's shtuyot. And why is it worth even 10 seconds of your time? There's a big tzaddik that was nifta last week, Reb Shlomo Fish, I don't know if you heard of him, Sechet Tzaddik Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's a huge, huge Talmid Chacham, totally separated from this world and politics, anything at all. I met him once. He was a huge Talmid Chacham and a tzaddik. And his son was saying that his father came in once, and the son was making a salad. He was slicing up pickles. And the father looked at him and said, "Why don't you just eat the pickle?" Like, what are you handling with the what are you doing? What are you wasting your life? He's standing like, "If you like the pickle, just eat the pickle." So what he answered, like what he answered to that, he wasn't making a joke. He was saying, why are you wasting your life on doing stupid things like that? I understand you want to eat a pickle, so put the pickle in your mouth. Why are you spending a few minutes making a little pickle? Just put the thing in your mouth already and finish. The Tavis says he's making a salad. You don't understand. It's a salad. But the father, it was a critique of like every minute of life. There's so many shtiyot. If you think about it, there's the shtiyot. And the difference is that the big person stops and notices it and thinks about that and says, what is this? Why are you standing there doing this? You have, you know, how much time people spend, I'm not talking about cooking the food, preparing the food, but the presentation of the food. The presentation. It's unbelievable. When I was in high school, I worked for a caterer, and they had these fancy cakes that were going to bring out at the end of the, you know, for the Viennese table. So the guys, our chevre, it was good cake. We were taking pieces, we were taking out big chunks of the cake for ourselves. And then you just take the whipped cream, they had this big, and you fill in the spots with it. You used to fill in the whipped cream. You used to squeeze this big, and it made the whipped cream, and it looked like it was part of the cake. But when we would come out, we had it all over ourselves. We had the guys, the waiters, the busboys, all, you know. But it looked like it was a nice cake. Or you get, or somebody spends $150 to get you some Shalat Manis, right? And it has this like mountain of chocolate, and you open up the big and you see that it's like all paper and cardboard and like 10 pieces of chocolate. And then you just shake off the chocolate. But all of life is like that. Shtiyot. It's a binyan of hevel, of nothing. We just don't stop and think about it. Binyanim of hevel. Of nothing. Of nothing. And you could know that with your seichel. And you still go and send it, and you send somebody else a mountain of chocolate, a mountain of tissue paper. Why? It's the presentation. And this now proves that I really care for you, and you're my friend, because I sent you $100 of paper. And six or seven chocolates that we all know taste the same because they're all garbage. So whatever. And it's I don't mean that about any people that are selling chocolate, and this is going to go viral, and I have all the chocolate people, like, angry with me. It's all shtiyot. The whole Metzias is like this. Mountains of hevel. Of hevel. And you know in your seichel that it's a hevel. And there you are doing it again. There's a joke. There's a famous joke like that about three guys. I don't remember all the pratim. But there's three guys sitting on like on the construction up on the skyscraper. Yeah, an Italian, a French, and a Polish guy. I'll get straight to the Polish guy. So they're sitting there on the construction site. Well, actually, you have to say the other guys. So each one's complaining about how his wife makes him, you know, was always making the same lunch because they have a break, and they're sitting up there, and the guy opens his sandwich, and he says, you know, if my wife ever makes me again an egg salad, I'm gonna kill myself. The other one says, if she ever makes me this tuna fish salad again, I'm gonna jump off the, you know, up on the sky, so I'm gonna kill myself. The Polish guy just walks over to the edge and he's getting ready to jump. He doesn't even look at his sandwich. And the guy says, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? He says, I make my own lunch. I did it again, so I'm just going to go for it. you know yourself is the biggest stuss in the world. And there you are doing it again. I made my own lunch. And you're doing it again. I realize a suach relevav machrein echem. But that's what a shayt is. That's what a shayt is. And it doesn't take much to take this person away from his course. Shari b'dvarim elu, ein shum chochma bina v'das. He knows with his seichel that b'dvarim elu, ein shum chochma bina v'das. There's no chokhma bina v'das. Elam shtuyes v'havolim gedol. V'adu rabba chokhma bina v'das oyim shadvarim elu harisim kol chelka toy b'naf shiruch v'nishmos v'achim. So not only that this shtuyot, his seichel tells him that this is destroying your life. This is destroying your life. The doctor says if you're going to gain another 10 pounds, you're in huge danger of getting a heart attack. And again, He has himself a Shabbos or whatever it is. He sits there fressing. He goes to a chasni. He's taking everything. He's eating like that. And the doctor said, so not only it's not just it's a shtus. You're ruining your life. And he's there just eating the same food, the same thing. Even though it's worse than a shtus. It's harsim kol chelka toiv. It's destroying your life. A person who's yesodi, I think we're going to learn more about oimik, how to strengthen ourselves with this. When a person is more yesod, when a person is yesodi, leyachalasuk behem. When the Baba of Rebbe, I told you many times, like many, many Jews from Europe, they were smoking all the time. It was a very, very common thing that they smoked all the time. And back in the, I don't know when it was, late 50s or 60s, early 60s, they came out with all the warnings about cigarettes. So the doctor told the Baba Rebbe, says, Rebbe, that it's not good for you, the cigarettes. And the Rebbe asked him, why is it? And he explained to him, with the lungs, and then the Rebbe stopped smoking. That was it. So I didn't know. Shkoyach. And that was the end of it. No more. He didn't know, so now he explains. So the Seichel Eloki said, "This is something which is dangerous. This is not healthy. Mimei Hashem, Hashem doesn't want a person doing that. It's not good for you." And that was the end of it. No more. It wasn't having to go through 12 steps, and to go and to have meetings, and to put stuff on your fingers or on the cigarettes to line with poison or something. It was. So, finished. Seichel, then it's done. And I told you many times over the years that my mother was also such a chain smoker. I grew up when I was a little kid, it was smoke in the house all the time, except for Shabbos. And the Musa Shabbos, my mother had it by the Havdalah things. She had a cigarette waiting. Right after Havdalah, there was a cigarette. When I remember with the smoking, it was terrible. And then I became, at some point, when I was 10 years old, I got very sick. I had terrible allergies. And the thing that came out highest on the allergies was the cigarette smoke. I was allergic to it. I had to go to the hospital. And it came out there was a cigarette. And that was the last cigarette my mother ever had. And then I remember talking to her about it years later. And she said that after the doctor told me that it was making you sick, anytime I saw people smoking, it made me ill. My mother said it made her sick. To look at a cigarette or to hear the word cigarette, it made her sick. Interesting. What happened to the taiva? The taiva was is shtusim, it's havel havolim. But until it gets into that place where it's clear to you, and not only clear to you, but it travels all the way from the yesod, because for my mother, that was the yesod of her entire existence, is the love that she has for her children. And then it was done. It was finished. There's no milchama. It's like with one of my shalosh shudas yesterday. It was Shabbos. Shabbos, my mother had, we used to ask her Shabbos, she said she didn't have a tie at all for a cigarette. Didn't bother at all on cigarette, Shabbos. Nothing. How's that? So on Yom Kippur, none of us have tie to anything else on Yom Kippur. Just to daven and to do tshuva. Nobody has a taiva of anything of this world. So what happened? The taiva, something changed. Because there's that deep connection where all of a sudden it's not just something that you know in your head, but it's the yesod of who you are. And then the taiva becomes ridiculous. It's nothing. Mesuper. There's no room for anything else. The super shapam boil a rabbi kaddish for Mendel Rimanov. Somebody came to Rav Mendel Rimanov who had big nisyanis. This Jew had big nisyanis in Yonim of Kedusha of Yosef Hatzadik. The vakish when the eighth service of Shia echli himolit al navshay melipo bepach yofish. So you see, this is even 200 years ago, not just now. And somebody came to the Tzadik Rav Mendel Rimanov with all the problems with this Indian of Kedusha Rizm. And he's asking Rav Mendel Rimanov to help him. how not to fall. So this is a famous story. It's told by a few tzaddikim. Harav HaKadosh Yod HaBruach Kodesh HaKadosh Mikonsul HaEze Inyin Huba. Now, Remendel Rimanover knew why this person was coming to see him. He knew that he was struggling with this. And Remendel knew why he was coming. So, Nemr Liyad HaDalas V'Osa Ma'ase Balabais. So, what happened was, Remendel Rimanover went to the opening of his room, or the house. He went to the opening of his house, Remendel Rimanover. And Nemr Liyad HaDalas, he stood by the door. V'Osa Ma'ase Balabais, meaning no one's allowed in right now. The Rebbe went and stood by the door. I'm closed. And he became like the Rebbe himself said, you can go in. You don't go. You're not allowed in the house. He became, stood by the door. So what happened is that this person came and the Rebbe, and he comes into the house. The Rebbe lets him in. And he starts to complain about all of his nisyonis of the nisyonis of Yosef at Tzadik nisyonis. So Mendel women have told them, I just was showing you how to deal with this. You came to me for an etzah of how to deal with these problems, with this problem of the typhus. I made a decision. Who am I allowing into my house? And who's not allowed into my house? Mi yikanes or mi lo? Who am they sh'anihu bala bayispa? What gives me the right to decide who comes into my house and who doesn't come into my house? Remendel says, why am I allowed to stand there and says, you're in, you're out? The Torah says, because I'm the balabas. It's my house. It's up to me who comes in, who doesn't come in. Umi she'eni chofetz lach nisa. Lo mor sh'likanes. If there's somebody who I don't want into the house, he doesn't come in. Vena nichnas. Asei kain gamato. You do the same thing. All right, that's... So no, you know, you don't hear the end of the story, it's a shkoyach, Rabbi. You know. Asei kain gamato. Do this also. You know, there's a nusach in the shiltas. It's brought down in the shiltas, a famous thing, that it says that the mezuzah is miyamin, and the chanukah is on the other side, and the balabas, who's wearing his tzitzis, is in the middle. The candles, the Hanukkah is this side, mezuzah is that side, and it says in the balabayas, who's mitzuyats with his tzitzis, is standing in the middle. But we understand now what that means, why the shilta says such a thing. I'm not going right now. Mezuzah and the Hanukkah, these are all a shmira. The shmira of the mezuzah and the korach of the neris of Hanukkah. But you have to be a balabas, and with the tzitzis is what? Lo sasuach v'levav v'achmei necha, m'shatem z'nevav v'achmei necha. Lo sasuach v'levav v'achmei necha. Mezuzah, Chanukah candles, tzitzis. Balabayas. It doesn't say v'ha'ish, that the person is in between the mezuzah and the candles. It says, he's wearing his tzitzis. Tzuyats. He's wearing his tzitzis. But that's what it means. Means the balabais is wearing his tzitzis. Calls him a balabais. Ner ishu beso. It's your house. The Chanukah candles, ner ishu beso. That's the meaning of Chanukah. Yevanim nikbetsu alai, uparetsu choymais migdolai. The Greeks broke down all barriers, all walls. Mutaloch, mutaloch, mutaloch. The meaning of Greece was whatever you like, go for it. Go for whatever you like, you should go to get that. Whatever you like, that's what you should go get. Even though they were such big philosophers, they destroyed themselves with their filth, with their tumah. That's how they destroyed themselves. They were such big philosophers. What happened to them? What happened to them? The big philosophers. What happened to them? Aristotle was the biggest Baal Taiva in the world. What happened to these people? They destroyed themselves. Uparetsu choymeis migdolai. Their whole Indian was to break down walls. To break down all barriers, parts of Chaimus Megdala, v'timu kol hashman, to be metame kol hashman. The Indian of Chanukah, the Tikkun of Chanukah is Ner Ish Ubeisa, Ner Ish Ubeisa, Yosef HaTzadik. Who's the balabas over here? Who's the balabas? To be a balabas, to be the person who decides what comes in and what doesn't come in. Who's the balabas? I say gam kainata, the moichacha v'libcha. strengthen your mind and strengthen your heart. Strengthen your mind and heart to work on this. Obviously, this is a lot of work in Musa and Chassidus and Avoda, but to come to such a place where your mind and your heart are together. Not just that you know and say, oh, this is bad for me. Tisnai kebalabayas. Begin to behave like a balabas, like a balabayas. Valtarshali kanis la'ilish en chachofis behem. And don't let in those that don't belong in your life. Don't let that into your life. You don't want them in your life. You don't want them in your life. Look how everybody's so makbid with their kids that they don't want, everybody's afraid, I don't want my kid playing in that kid's house. Because you're afraid that your kid's going to be in that house and it's not a good place to be. They're going to see things, they're going to hear things, it's not a good place to be. Because Rabbi Tzaddik says that the pnimius of the father is his son, which means what you and I really want for ourselves, we ask of our children. You understand? We demand of our children what we really would like to be ourselves. So ourselves, we went wherever we wanted. But I don't want my kid going into that. And your kid could ask you, what about you? You're so careful where you go. What about, where do you go? I'm not chasson, they would ever say such a thing. But what are you so careful where you go? You have such pay this. I can't go into this house. I can't go to this place. I can't read this book. Every single book that your kid has, you have to check the book. What about for yourself? So for your son or for your daughter, you're like standing like a guard. You're a shomer. You have a daughter, a wonderful, beautiful, smart, firm daughter, and you're very careful who she brings home. You're looking out the window, you see the guy from down the block, you already look at your wife and say, nah, this guy's not for her. It's a shmira for your daughter. You're not letting anybody go near your daughter. But when it comes to who you are, because there, it's like with my mother, she should be well. It's the seichel, it's the heart, and everything's joined together. And you sow this strong, and nobody's going to bother my kid. No one's going to mess with my kid. That's how it is. V'chein hu gam ha'odam ha'yisodi. Hu balabayis. V'chein es lo knisa l'dvarim zorim she'enim inyonav. He's the balabayas, he's the balabas, and ain etzlo knisa l'dvarim zorim she'enim inyonav. And nothing is allowed into his life that does not fit exactly into that mahalach of that program, that mahalach. There was a story about my father, Lashon, that I told a lot by the Shiva, Lolaino. But it's something I think about all the time because the way he said it, also the pshutim, how they came out from him, because it was a whole shakel of a time. So you've heard this from me many times in the past. I just want to put it into the context of what we're learning. It was all shakel of a time. What was I going to do with my life? You know, at that point, whether I was going to stay in yeshiva, stay in learning, or the possibility of going to law school. And it was a whole shakel of a time. It was back and forth. It was a very big discussion at that time in my life. And I decided I was going to stay in learning and to go into chinuch, whatever. And my mother was very, very distraught. My father was very proud. And it wasn't the zman, it was ben hazmanim. And it was a Sunday morning, and my father saw me going with my baseball glove, and I was heading out to meet the guys who were going to the park to play some ball. And my father said, "Where are you going?" I said, I'm going to the park. He said, "Why?" I said, "I'm going to play ball." My father said, I thought you wanted to get smicha." As he said. I said, "I do." So he said, "So why are you going to play ball?" So he said. So I said, I'm just taking a little break. He said, "I don't know. I don't know how you become a Talmud Chacham running around playing ball." You want to be a Talmud Chacham, you decide you want to be a Talmud Chacham. If you want to be a lawyer, then go to play ball. But if you decide you want to go for smicha, then why are you going to play with your friends? What are you, a baby or something? He didn't say those words, a baby, but he said, why are you going to play if you want to be a Talmud Chacham? Why don't you sit and learn? So you could argue with that very strongly, right? Of course, everybody needs. People thought that I was saying that guy shouldn't have any ben azmanim. That's ridiculous. Shtiyot. A guy shouldn't have a ben azmanim. I don't like to see guys enjoying themselves and playing some ball and relaxing. Of course. But there's a difference between somebody who's relaxing a little bit and enjoying himself and somebody who's not on course. You understand? My father wasn't making that chiluk. My father was just, that's how it is. But, of course, there's a time for everything. And that doesn't mean it's taking you off course. And I would have explained to my father, but I didn't bother. But just explain to my father that, you know, it's okay to play a little bit of ball, because that doesn't mean that I'm not going for smicha. Because he's ready, like, well, just go to law school then if you're not going for smicha. If you're going to play ball, you shouldn't be going for smicha. But the truth of the matter is that going to play ball with your friends is a little gewaldige thing. And going on a nice little vacation, as long as everything is proper, as long as everybody's behaving nicely, it's also a nice thing. If you could afford it and you go on a vacation, that's a nice thing. As long as you're not off course. And there's a difference. And that's all that I was talking about in that controversial schmooze. It's about, which wasn't controversial, I don't know. I'm not going to talk about it now, maybe a different time. But it's just a difference between enjoying and relaxing a little bit, which is beautiful, and Hashem wants that. And all due respect to my father, that was coming from a different place. And Hashem's Baruch wants that, as opposed to not being consistent with your decisions in life and being completely off course and doing things that don't stim with what you claim to be the person you are and you want to be, and you're doing something that bichlal doesn't stim. There's no time off from who you are. There's no such thing. That's what it meant in Kelm. All right, not to look this way or that way. That doesn't mean you can't have a little bit of a break, but if you're having a break, that means you don't have to make brachas, you don't have to keep Shabbos, you don't have to put on tefillin. I'm not saying people do that. I'm just saying the idea of taking a break doesn't mean to take you off course from who you are. It means to keep you on course. So you need a little bit to breathe. But it doesn't mean. So you have to know to tell the difference in your own life. When is this something which is mamish off course? This is not what I planned. This is not what I want. This is not who I am. And I can't be a shite. I have to stay on that sheet of what I want in my life. That's the midah of Yesod. All pagam habris comes from a failure to be mischazik in this program of Yesod. Well, to be continued, Mr. Shah. Yeah.